Morning, church.
Morning.
I hope you are all doing well today. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, we say in our language, in Hindi or Urdu, Jai Masih Ki. That means praise the Lord. It will be good if you will say after me, Jai
Masih
Ki.
Ki.
Masih means Christ, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. Well, as Pastor Richard introduced me, that I came about, it's more than a year, when I came first to this church, the New Life Church. It was the best decisions I made since I'm in the England that I came to this church. And yes, you are my family here. Thank you so much. Yeah. And thank you so much for giving me an opportunity so that I can preach about persecution. And when I was coming, when I was told in Feb this year that I need to preach, and I said, yes, that will be a great opportunity for me. And I said, yes, I am available and I can preach about persecution. I received an email like from this church, like Anosh will do the end of the series of Beatitudes on the persecutions, but, and I believe it's not end yet, to the persecutions, Christians, brothers and sisters are still face those persecutions. Sermons on the the Beatitudes. When Jesus saw the crowd, thousands of gathered to hear him, and Jesus began to teach all his disciples and other followers who came to listen, Jesus, by missing not this opportunity to give them encouragement, he shared the Beatitudes. And I believe that Jesus really concerned about all peoples who seek him or follow him for his teachings by that time. As we read in the Bible, Jesus feed the crowd of 5,000 peoples who were following Jesus for his teaching. And I believe when they recorded a word that many peoples were gathered there, and that's my belief, according to that times when thousands of peoples were after Jesus for looking for miracles or to listen Jesus and follow his teachings. The same thing happened. Jesus saw the crowds and he finds the need, and he said that I should preach about them, that's about these Beatitudes. And the topic that I was given, that is persecutions. And let's read Matthew 5 and 10 to 16, where Jesus is talking about persecution. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were there before you. Jesus has spoken very clearly, openly to the thousands of peoples who gathered to listen to Jesus, or who has already made their minds that they had decided to follow Jesus Christ. That if you follow me, my commands, my teachings, or if you live for Christ, you will face a persecutions. It's not maybe you will face persecutions, or some people will face persecutions. Everyone who wants to follow Christ or live for the righteousness will face persecutions. And Jesus encouraged that you do not fear, for there is the kingdom of heaven, or you will have a reward in heaven. For the same way they persecuted the prophet who were before you, which means now you are standing at the same place where prophets or the disciples were by that time. But today it's like we are on the same place where prophets before us who were preaching about the God and his teachings. And we are doing the same thing. We're speaking the same truth from the gospel and establishing his kingdom. Amen. Well, persecution is the act of harassing, to bring trouble, to bring punishment, oppressing, killing people because of their difference from society. In the Old and the New Testament, persecution can be seen as a physical persecution, social, mental, and self-persecution. If we look into the life of Jesus, when he was persecuted, he was beaten, he was humiliated, he was rejected, he was nailed on the cross. And if we see some other peoples, like prophets and some other disciples, they were also persecuted, like Abel in the Old Testament, Elijah, David, Joseph from the Old Testament, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, Stephen, who were stoned to death, Peter, Paul, and other disciples, they all faced persecution. The first persecution was recorded in the Bible was a physical persecution. In the book of Genesis, chapter 4, it happens because of jealousy and hate. When Abel was murdered by his brother, God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but his brother was jealous of him, and he persecuted his brother and killed him and murdered him. That was the first physical persecution in the Old Testament. And that is very true. When you are accepted by God, when you're accepted by Jesus, you face persecution. Many incidents happen in Pakistan in the past years where Christians, brother and sister, faced physical persecution, which includes murdered, which include they are being beaten so brutally. Even early in 2024, this year, a man was humiliated, mocked, beaten, stoned, and he died in the hospital because of the severe injuries. This happens in Pakistan, and this is all happens because he was a Christian. Well, social persecution, which is also called discrimination. This is another fact. We find this kind of social persecutions in Pakistan. That's a very common thing. Or it's called a discriminations. People mock you, you face humiliation, you are rejected in the society or in the workplace. And this is still happening in Pakistan. And this is just because of you are Christians. Even if we see Jesus, people mock at Jesus. People mock at Noah when he was building an ark. They were just making fun of him. Joseph in the Old Testament, he was rejected by his own brothers, and he did also face a discrimination. Even today, in the present time, around the world, and especially the country I came from and my personal experience, a big number of Christians face persecution because of Jesus Christ, because of their faith. And I am one of them who has faced all kinds of persecutions. And I'm not surprised of this, and I'm not complaining at the moment now, since I understood this, that why this has happened to me. Because Jesus has already told me about this will happen, Anosh. If you follow me, this will happen to you. I still remember in March 2015, a Sunday mornings, two churches during Sunday service, two suicide bombers attacked at these two churches. That was so horrible things I have ever experienced. I was in the church that time after the blast. People were running in the church from one place to another place. It's just like a chaos. Children were crying, looking for their loved ones. Blood on the floor. People and children were murdered in that bomb attack. And I was present by that time. It was just like a terrific sound happens and people start running. And I still remember that I have to run also. And I left my shoes. I didn't even get a chance to wear my shoes. I just run with my bare feet and to home and was crying. And just when I came out through the door and I found some parts of bodies, it was the person who was doing their security job at the church. If you just check on the internet, you will still find that. Matthew 24:9 says, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulations and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." And I believe that was already written in the Bible that this will happen. And the second thing is, a third thing is that a mentally persecution. Fear of being persecution, forced to stop preaching the good news or the gospel. You cannot live with freedom. This is all happening in Pakistan. And now it's increasing in Pakistan and Christians are facing these things. When you go through the mental persecution, you go through the stress. And this brings a mental stress. Even Jesus has experienced that mental stress. When Jesus sweat drops of blood in the gardens of Gethsemane. When I was searching this, why was Jesus bleeding? What was the reason behind that when his sweat turned into blood? In the medical term, it's called hematohidros. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's a medical term. Hematohidrosis. It's a very rare condition of sweating blood, as this happens when you go through the extreme kind of stress. Even the disciples like Peter, John, Paul, and Silas, and other disciples also has gone through this mental stress, a mental persecution. They were sent to prison because of preaching, because of faith in Jesus Christ. It was stress for them. If they preach, they will be sent to prison. And this happens to them already. And were given a warning by the authorities of that time. If they proclaim the good news of Jesus, they will be punished. And that was the stress they were feeling that time. God wants us to preach, but they don't want us to preach. What we will do? How we do this? So they have gone through that stress. And I have experienced that mental stress also. I believe many Christians don't face all kind of persecutions. Like you are in the church, you never face a physical persecution. You never face a mental persecution because there is a freedom. You never faced a social persecution here. But there is a one common thing that is called a self-persecution that every believer who go through this process. Or it's called DIY, do it yourself, which is very common in nowadays. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely reject and disown your own life. And you must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own." Whenever I read this, Jesus is talking about lift up your cross and then follow me. If you cannot lift up your cross, if you cannot deny yourself, you're not worthy of me. Well, cross is the image of persecution when we see that. So the moment when you decided that, okay, I will repent, I will baptized, and now I will start a new beginning in the Christ. So you have to fight against desires of flesh. You deny yourself. You give priority to the word of God. You don't do compromise with this world and the word of God. People hurt you. You have to forgive them. Sometimes you don't want to forgive them, but you have to forgive them. That's called a self-persecution. You are doing it for Christ. You speak blessings to those who hurt you. Sometimes it happens. That's a human nature. You don't want to see his face, but you have to, because Jesus is talking about that. Love your neighbors, love your enemies, live for me, pick up your cross. And the cross is not just for the one day. He's saying that every day you have to lift your cross, and then you need to follow me. That's called a self-persecution, and we experience that. Again, he says, rejoice and glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Every single person or the believer of Christ who face persecution because of righteousness or for Christ, they participate in the suffering of Christ. This is one of the most important things. And since I knew that, and I start rejoice in my heart, because I am a partaker in Christ's suffering. How is this possible? Like, one day I was thinking, like, this happens to me. Does God knows that this? I'm persecuted. People hate me, and they beaten me, and whatever I did face in the past. Is this really God knows that I'm going through the hard times and everything? I'm suffering for Him, but He's not answering me. But I was just looking for the answer. And when I read Acts 9, when Paul, he was Saul before, was going to Damascus to persecute the believers or Christians, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, heard a voice, and the voice from Jesus. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He asked, who are you? He replied, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. So Saul was not going there to persecute Jesus. He was going there to look after, to look and to find who is talking about Jesus, and to punish them or to send them into the prisons. And that makes me sense. Like, we see that Paul is not, but Jesus is saying to Paul that you are persecuting me. If somebody is insulting me, they are not insulting me. Actually, they are insulting Jesus, because we are the partaker in the suffering. That's what Paul, 1 Peter chapter 4 and 13, it says, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Amen. Today, people like Saul, who wants to persecute you, they do not need to go to Damascus to find Christians. And I believe that every one of you, including me, we are the address of God. It's really easy to find Jesus and to persecute through you. This is very clear. When you are persecuted for Jesus, you are partaker in Jesus' suffering. Persecution is never unnoticed to God. That's what I was talking to Pastor Richard before that. I said, I believe that my every single pain is noticed, and God knows that I've gone through this such kind of problems, or I left my family. It's okay, I left my family. to save my own life, but I also left my family, so my family can see me again, alive. And it was not an easy decision that I made to run and to flee. I still remember in 2023, on the 25th of May, when I was at the airport, I gave last hug to my son Peter and my wife, and I say that I'm going now. So I left them in the hand of God, and I made my journey. And God is very faithful. And I was not sure about that, what is going to be happen with me, how people will deal with me at the airport, where I will go, where I will live, what I will eat, and how I will deal the things. But I'm glad they brought me here in Bristol, and I am among you today. I was talking to Val. I said, you know, before I came to this hotel Holiday Inn where I was living, this home office sent me, and I said, there's about so many, like there was about 400 to 500 people that are living there, and never happened that anyone from there came to your church. And she said, I mean, you said, no, this never happened. Mm-hmm. I believe so. And I said, I am one of them from the out of 500 people who were accommodated there, and I marched to the New Life Church. I said, that's interesting. That's actually God's who sent me there, that I should go, and there is a church for you. There is a family waiting for you. Amen.
Amen.
A few words that really encouraged me during this whole process. Romans 8 and 18 says, where Paul saying that I am convinced that suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I know that I am suffering at the moment. I know that I miss family sometimes. I know that I feel sad when I'm in my room. I know that when I'm sleeping and wake up in the midnight and start thinking about that, my family and everything, that's all. But when I go through these words, and they really encouraged me, like, you cannot compare, the joy is coming, that is on the way, and you will see it in your life. Mm. Another word that encouraged me during this process, I want to share with you the scripture, 2 Corinthians and chapter 11, from verse 23, and where Paul's saying that, I am more, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I've received from the Jews, and 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was pelted with stones, 3 times I was shipwrecked, I spent a night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in dangers from bandits, in dangers from my fellow Jewish, in dangers from Gentiles, in dangers in the city, in dangers in the country, in dangers at the sea, and in dangers from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without foods. I have been cold and naked. When I read this, this really encouraged me. When Paul is talking, and I said that when I opened this, I was preparing a sermon for church in Pakistan. When I read this, and I said that Paul is talking to me, that's so encouraged. I have not gone through all these things that Paul is talking about, and that's really encouraged me. That's given me a hope. I will finish by saying these words, Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No one can separate us from the God. As Pastor Richard was talking about, like, this is your test, actually. That's my test. Like, things happens to you which you didn't expect it, that this has happened. I'm not here to follow Christ. Some people think that they follow, when they start following Christ, when they follow Christ, things will be getting better in their life. Sometimes it's getting worse. That's your test. And when you will have test in your life, it's bring testimony in your life. You cannot have testimony in your life without test. I believe, and I experienced that. And that's my testimony, that I have spent a best time here amongst you. And I really would like to say special thanks as a church to all of you, that you have welcomed me, you have hugged me, you have wrapped me in your arms. I don't know the name of the many people here, but I would like to say some names, like Pastor Richard, Well, Brother Rod and Jane, that they really look after me like a son, like a brother. And I feel like home when I am with Vale. I always make a mistake pronounce her name, and she deals me so well. She, you know, that's how God's work in your life. That's the evidence that you are not alone. The unseen hand of the God is always protecting you. That's what I've experienced. And that's, if we just look into the Beatitudes, where it's talking about, blessed are those who are merciful, so they will receive a mercy, actually. And I would like to also share as a testimony, like, you know, when I was in Pakistan, when I was living, and I said, I'm living, and my wife will also no longer live in the same house because she cannot live alone there. However, we can rent our house. But I said, no, we don't need to rent. I know two families. They were poor. They did not have their own house. And I asked them, you can bring them and ask them to live in my house free of cost. I did not did this because this will happen to me also. That was not my intentions. And when I came in England and started living here, when they said that they are moving me from hotel to Newport, and I went there, and that house was just like, I don't want to explain in my words, but that was not like a good place to live there. And then I speak to Pastor Richard that this is going to be happen to me, and I'm very thankful to him that he reached out to people, and then, well, she said that he can come and live with me. So I was merciful to the peoples back in Pakistan. There's about 7 and about 12 peoples, including children's, are living in my house, 2 families. I was merciful there, and God is merciful for me here. And he arranged a place for me. And every day, whenever I had an opportunity, I shared this, that when you are persecuted, that God is always with you. You are always in his hand. And I pray that the word that I have shared with you will encourage you and help you to stay with the Lord no matter what are the situations, and it will increase your faith in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.